All right, I appreciate you finding your seat there, and take your Bible, turn over to the book of Titus, chapter number 3, and we want to look at verse 1, we want to look at verse 8, we want to look at verse 14. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, verse 8, and verse number 14. The title of the message is Good Works, and we sure want to understand some things that the Lord says. I think those issues are far more important to the Lord, unfortunately, than they are to us. And we pay a price because we're not involved in good works. Let me just read in verse 1, it appears, verse 8, verse 14. But you can just punch in good works and you can find out how many times those words appear throughout the New Testament, and how important they are to God that you and I be about good works. Can I say that again? The title of the message is Good Works. And it's extremely important tonight that every believer is about good works. Let me also say that coming to church, that's not classified as a good work. That's a responsibility we have. It's a matter of obedience. It's a command not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Lord has some good for you to do this week, and it's important to Him. Let me start here, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. Can you see that over there? It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. All right, Titus chapter 3, remember Titus is a young man. Paul is writing here to Timothy, 2 Timothy. He's writing here to Titus, encourage them in their leadership. Titus is over at Crete, and he says to him, hey, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Tell them to be good citizens and to obey the authorities, the government that's over you. It says to obey magistrates. But he says to be ready to every good work. And then down in verse 8, it comes up again. It says, it's a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that thou which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Wow. I need to, in verse 1, I need to be ready. And in verse 8, I need to be careful to maintain good works. Those things are good and profitable unto all men. And then down in verse 14, Titus chapter 3 and verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. It comes up there. Over in chapter 1, that's just across the page for me. It says here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Wow. All right. Tonight, the Lord wants me to be involved in good works. And let's see if we can't learn some things tonight. I've got about four things, and let me present those, and praise the Lord. We'll see what we can do here. Number one, it is the Lord's plan that we do good works. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures tonight. Limber up your Bible there and follow along. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You're pretty familiar with that. Probably got somebody who could quote that here. And Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. Is there a boy, a girl, or a teenager that can quote Ephesians 2, 8 or 9? Is there a young person? Okay, all right. Well, let's read it here. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so nobody goes to heaven by doing good works. Can I say that again? Nobody goes to heaven by doing good works. You don't go to heaven that way. But in verse 10, if you continue the thought here, the very purpose of God saving me by faith through grace is that I would be involved in good works. Can I ask you something? Have you been involved in any scriptural good works this last week? Preacher, I'm at church. Well, we just talked about it. That's not a classification of good works. That's a commandment of God. You know, hopefully you didn't steal either. You know, and that's a commandment of God. But in Ephesians in verse 10, the Lord says that I have been made to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It might behoove me tonight to wipe out my mind, my Sunday afternoon nap, and too much that I ate at Sunday supper, or lunch there, rather, not supper, but lunch, and say, Lord, please quicken my mind. Help me to grab and get my mind and heart around what you're saying here. It is the plan of God that I was created unto good works. It is my job. Got to point this out about doing good works. They always produce joy. It's my job to do that. I was created for that. But good works produce wonderful joy. Are there ever those moments where you have been about something and you really were doing this for the Lord? You weren't trying to get any public acclaim. You weren't trying to let people know how caring and you are and about careful and with people. And you just wanted to serve the Lord. And the Lord made you aware of a situation. And you reached in there with maybe your talents or your pocketbook or your car or your feet or your hands. And you did something and you really did it simply for the Lord. And it produced a wonderful joy in your heart. Guess what? You just did some good works. Good works produce joy. Do you know one of the complaints about the church of the last days? There's not much joy. And you know why? Because there's not very many good works going on. In fact, we have a whole classification of what we think in our lives are good works, and they're not at all, and we're not doing what those good works are. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with marvelous good works. And the scriptures teach here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that all of the things that are happening in my life, all of the pressures that are coming, all the challenges that the Lord has allowed in my life, they're working together for good. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And how can I possibly say that surgery and the pain and suffering of surgery and the expense of surgery and the disruption of your life of surgery and all of those, that could possibly be good? Well, verse 29, because it makes me like Jesus Christ, Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What you realize what happens as I am about my life and God puts the pressures on me and I go through trials and difficulties, the Lord is making me like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, it is the plan of God. It's my job. God created me for that. It produces joy in my life, and it makes me like Jesus Christ. Back over in Titus. Let's go back over there just real quick. In chapter 1, in verse 16, one of the things that we want to understand tonight in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 is this. The reason a lot of believers do not have the assurance of their salvation, and there are many reasons why people do not have the full assurance tonight they would go to heaven, but one of the reasons that people do not is because they're not involved in good works. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, one of the evidences that you can see in a person's life is that they are careful and consistent in good works. Titus chapter 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Wow. They are not involved in good works. One of the first things that comes to the heart of every believer who gets saved is that they just want to be used of God. They want to help others come to know Christ. They want to help their brothers and sisters in Christ who came and brought the gospel to them. They're not sure what they can do, but they want to do good works. Why is that? Because God created them for that purpose, and they've become a new creature in Jesus Christ, and their heart just longs to serve the Lord and to do good works for the Lord. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's go there for just a second. It was Martin Luther who did not like the book of James. In fact, if he could have, he might have taken it out. Now, I give him the benefit of the doubt. He had been a Catholic priest, and the Lord saved him. In those days, the Bible was chained there in the monasteries, and as he read the Bible, he said, this is what they're teaching, and what they taught me is not what God's Word says. God says that we're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then he got over to the book of James, and James chapter 2 and verse 17 says some things about faith. It says, faith without works is dead. And in verse 17 it says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. I appreciate you to begin thinking and say, hey, wait a minute. Isn't it amazing how many times, whether I'm in the book of James or whether I'm in the epistles of Paul, whether I'm in the New Testament, the Gospels, how many times the issue of good works keeps coming up? Obviously, the Lord teaches that you don't get saved through good works. You get saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, accepting that personally as your only hope of heaven, putting your trust in Jesus Christ. But if you are saved, you want to do good works. That kind of faith, a genuine faith, works. Not for salvation, because you can't work for salvation, but because you are saved. And tonight there are a lot of believers who, for whatever reason, they're disobeying the Bible in the book of Titus. They're not careful to maintain good works. They've not made their life available to the Lord. They're ready for God to be available to them on a moment's notice. Lord, I need a few dollars here right now. Lord, would you take care of that? Lord, the car doesn't seem to be running well. I don't have the money to get it fixed. Lord, would you help it to get healed out there and do something over there for me? We want the Lord, but we are not available to God. It's a matter of inconvenience. If the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, were to reveal to us something that needed to be done for someone else, some good work, and you know what? The fruit of that is we don't have much joy. You know, we don't have much joy anymore. And not only do we not have much joy, we're resisting how the Lord is trying to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, tonight, if you'll go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, something else is happening in society. There aren't many folks getting saved. Aren't the numbers of people coming to Christ that used to come to Christ? And that's across the country, it's across the world. And why is that? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 might explain it to us. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me read that one more time. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That they would look and say, you know what? I want Jesus Christ. I don't know what they have. I don't know how they got it. But I'm going to talk to those folks. I'm going to hang around with those folks because I want to know what they have and I want to have that in my life. So, hey, I was created unto good works. It is the way in which God helps me to comprehend that I'm a saved person and that others can comprehend and say, you know, there's something different over there. I don't know what it is. But also it's the way that God designed for me to communicate the gospel. That's the plan of God. But might help us tonight to get a perception of what good works really are. And it's a good warning in the Bible. There are some folks who have, they have their idea about what good works are. And the Lord says that on Judgment Day there, they're going to say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful things in thy name? And the Lord is going to have to say, sorry, I never knew you. And he talks about their works and calls them workers of iniquity. Their work was actually a rebellion against the Lord. It did not fit into the plan of God. They didn't fulfill the creation of God in their lives to good works. They no one could comprehend whether they were saved or not. There weren't any good works in their life. And they therefore were unable to communicate the gospel. And where does it start? Well, first of all, it starts with genuine care for others. Will you go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2? Tonight, this is a fairly uncaring age. You know, we are overwhelmed with the problems of the world. You know, the news cycle used to be 24 hours. Something would happen. It would take about 24 hours for the word to get around. But it's about 24 seconds today. And if there is a tremor, you know, my wife texted me the other day, hey, they had an earthquake over in Tennessee. And we were going back and forth about which fault that was. And we wanted to know who was at fault. But anyway, there was a fault there in that area. And in fact, the area where it happened, many years ago, 1800s, there was a tremendous earthquake there, and it created a lake. But That's another story, another illustration. But anyway, here in Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 2, we are so overwhelmed with the problems of others that we are not careful to maintain good works. We are not conscious of what God wants us to do. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so tonight, I have a responsibility to genuinely care for others. That might involve money. Might involve alms. The Lord talks a great deal about alms and supporting and helping others. And God wants me to do that. But as I read what he says about it over in Matthew, it ought to be private. It ought to be private. It ought not to be public. The Lord says, if I want a public accounting of my works, the Lord says, you can have that, but you have no reward. That's not why I created you to do that. It's something that's done in private. How wonderful that is. Tonight, I have a responsibility to care genuinely for others. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let me read that again tonight. God does expect me to meet the needs of other folks. He expects me to allow my hands, my feet, my eyes, my mind, my brain to be a blessing to other people. I am not seeking. Good works is not about seeking attention and focus upon myself. To let everyone know what a wonderful thing I did. Put it on Facebook. Everybody should know. I went over and baked this dinner for Ms. Jones in her time of need. And what a blessing it was to fellowship with. The Lord said, that's not what I meant. That's not good works. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And so tonight, I want to care for others. In the Bible, there is an important issue about good works. And if you're going to do good works according to the Scriptures in the Bible, it does not simply involve actions. It involves attitudes. It doesn't simply involve actions. It involves attitudes underneath the surface. Let me show you. In James chapter 2 and verse 15, over in James chapter 2 and verse number 15, what a powerful Scripture. It says in James 2:15, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not of those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone." I need to be about doing good works. My attitude is extremely important. And tonight, let me get you to go to James chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord gives a pretty good issue of my attitude here in James chapter 2. In the New Testament, there's a wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember that one? Everybody remembers that one, right? Boys and girls can remember that tonight. But you got the Good Samaritan. The man went out. He fell amongst thieves. The first person that came by was, he's wounded, he's on the side of the road, he's bleeding, he's probably going to die, he's out in the elements, he's been robbed, he's in a mess. And suddenly, there comes by, the Bible teaches there, Jesus gives us a parable, a priest. He comes by, and you think, oh man, I am saved. The priest is going to have compassion on me, he's going to help me. But the priest had a pretty long to-do list that day, and the Bible says there that he didn't even really give time of day to that fellow. He didn't even notice him. He just kept going. And he went right by the fellow over here who had genuine needs that the Lord had designed this moment for him to meet those needs. Later on, a Levite would come by, and he would notice the man, and it seems as though he wanted to stop, but I'm sure he got overwhelmed. How much money do I have in my pocket? I have just enough for me to get and my travels here to get where I need to go and then get back. And I don't know, I can't help this guy. Somebody else will have to help him. And so he heads up. Again, we're not talking about somebody who's sitting on the side of the road. I don't like to be taken advantage of with a sign I've told this story before. There was a preacher who was talking to a man, and the man said, "Preacher, would you give me like a dollar?" And the preacher said, "What are you going to do with that dollar?" And he said, "I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to go buy a beer." And he said, "Well, listen, I don't agree with drinking that, and I sure wouldn't want to give my money to somebody who's going to waste it on that. Why don't you get a job?" And he said, "Well, this is my job. I ask people for money, and they give me money, and I make a pretty good living doing this." And so, we're not talking about the guy over there on the side of the road with a sign saying, "Help me. I was a veteran. We are talking about someone in genuine need." And the Levite went on his way. And then the Good Samaritan came along. And remember, the Good Samaritan, he's from the wrong side of the tracks. He's not officially a Jew. He's a half-breed in the ideas of that day. And the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. And the one person who stopped was the Samaritan. And he loaded him up and he took him to the closest inn. And he took out of his own pocket money and paid for him to be fed and housed and any medicine he needed. And he let the man know that if he, if he were to have other needs, then when he came through, he would take care of those. And the Lord just leaves it at that. Isn't that amazing? And James chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3 talks about that. It says, "For if they come unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in your judgments, and become judges of evil thoughts? My works are important, but also to the Lord, no one can see underneath the surface, or my attitudes as I do those works." I want to say that again, because sometimes you say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But, will you let the Holy Spirit take that and drive that home to your heart, not just for tonight, but the rest of your life? It matters to the Lord that you do what He created you to do, which is to be His hands, His feet, His eyes, His human body on this planet. It matters that I put those hands and those feet to good in His direction, under His direction. But it also matters to Him extremely much that in my heart, my attitude is right toward Him. Can I give you three areas of good works that are extremely important to the Lord? We just looked at one, but let me give you three here, three places that you ought to be thinking about. The first one's found over in Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 21. It says here in Hebrews 13, 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will." All right, I'm not making this up. I appreciate you looking at your Bible and seeing that I'm not making it up. God said this. "All right, Lord, I want to do good works. I was created to good works. And Lord, I want to be conscious of those around me that have needs." But there's some other areas that the Lord calls good works. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will." What's that about? Tonight it matters to God that my attitude is constantly, "Not my will but Thine." I'm going to move over here and I'm going to say that again. All right? It matters to God tonight that in my heart and attitude, that as I seek to do good works, that I am constantly available to Him, "Not my will, but Thine." Oh, please, wipe the sleep out. If you're looking for something extremely important in this message, and I don't think the devil wants you to hear this, get this. Good works involve a heart that is ready at any moment to do the will of God. Amen. I have noticed here in our ministry, because we have a military ministry, and I thank God for the hundreds and hundreds of people that flow through this place and are ministered to. I mentioned last week a family that was here 10 years ago. I don't think that anybody, unless you stopped and talked to them and looked very closely, you'd say, I do remember them. Yeah, they're just one of many that have come through this place. But as folks come through, it's an interesting thing. Every so often we'll have a man or a lady who are in the military and they'll disappear. And we'll say, where did they go? What happened to them? And we'll find out, oh, they had like a deployment. I mean, it came up like boom. They got called to go here. Now they're over in Africa somewhere, or they're over in Iraq, or they're over, and you know, they were needed and they went. And you know, that's the way the Lord wants for me. He wants me every day to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. You know, at the moment, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I'm so glad that the heart of my Savior, which would be perfectly what God would want, was not my will but thine. The availability for me to go out and to do the will of God is extremely important. We talk about in Romans 12 in verse 1 that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. I can remember the day I surrendered my life to the Lord. As much as I can remember the day I got saved and trusted Christ, I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. But I don't think at that moment I had a full understanding of what that actually meant. And the Lord has frequently reminded me, because I've had a problem with good works. I want to do my will. I set out with my agenda of what I think ought to be done and how this, and when something comes up, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning, Lord, let's work together on this. I've got the idea, now you just provide the power and everything, and let's get this done for you, okay? And you know, that doesn't really shake out with heaven. The Lord is not interested necessarily in my ideas. It's God's ideas. It's God's heart. And He wants to communicate through my life. He wants me to be involved in good works, so it involves His will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's something else. Let me go over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So, it involves His will. And what is that? A wonderful availability to God. The Lord may ask me to do something I absolutely don't feel qualified to do. The Lord may ask me to do something that I don't have the resources to do, or I don't have the time to do. Lord, well, guess what? Here's the second part of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. As I do His will, it's not just pleasing myself, it's pleasing God instead of myself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, it's about receiving the power of God through His grace to do these works. It says, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is that? God says, I want you, as you do these works, not to be powered by your internal stubbornness or your desire to get the job done, to be the firstest with the mostest. I want you to do these jobs that I give you, these good works, based upon my grace. I want you to turn to me, and I want to provide the power and the wisdom and the insight to do these things that would please me. So not my will, but thine, Lord. And the other side of it, not my power, but thy power. Those are good works. And you know what? That's hard to maintain those kinds of works. Over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, will you go over there? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. It not only involves the issue of God's will, it also involves God's word. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, these wonderful verses, I don't know how many folks here got saved with these verses. This is what I call a door checker verse. It means a lot to me because I'm a door checker. I want to make sure tonight when I go to bed that the sliding glass door is locked, the front door is locked, back door is locked. I want to make sure that the coffee maker is off. I want to make sure all the stove eyes are off. I want to make sure that the heat and air is right where it ought to be. And I'm not going to be able to rest. In fact, if I get in bed and think, did I check the sliding glass door? I got to get back up and go back up there. In fact, I've had one of those bad nights where you get in bed and you went all the way back, you know, and then you got to go back up and go and check the sliding glass door, and then you get back to bed and you think, I should have checked the front and I didn't, and I got to go up and check the front. But in Romans 10:13, this is the door checker verse, which says, hey, you know what? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not hard to get saved. God has provided it. He's willing that anyone who could come through Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus can be saved, tell him so. Lord, I want that gift. Please save me. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whenever the devil says, I don't know, you didn't look saved today, you didn't feel saved, I'm not sure you are, I can always go over to Romans 10, 13 and say, look at there, devil. Would you read this with me? For whosoever, do you know who that is? That's anybody. For whosoever shall call. Do you remember when I bowed my knees and asked Jesus Christ to save me? I remember. Do you remember? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I have my door checker verse. But it goes on. Did you notice that? Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I believe God wants every shop to have a preacher, not just every church. I believe that the Lord wants every home to have a preacher, spiritual leader in that home, and support for that spiritual leader in communicating the truths of God's Word to every soul that's there. I believe every factory, the Lord wants a preacher over there. And when we say preacher, we're not talking about someone who came, was ordained by the church, got a nice certificate, and went through the ordination council and the ringer, and everybody said, I think he's got the gifts, and so we're gonna stand by him, and we can vote for his ordination. The whole church says, hey, we vote for his ordination, and we're not talking about that. We are talking about proclaiming God's Word. I was talking with somebody today about some issues. I was telling my wife at lunch about that, and I said, you know what? What came out of their heart is wonderful evidence of their salvation. How that they are dealing with this situation, and is this a wonderful evidence of the fact that they have Jesus Christ in their heart? Because what was coming out of their mouth were the truths of the Word of God that applied to the circumstances they were facing. And I don't think they just learned that somewhere. I think it was produced by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, my works involved sharing the Word. It may be that the Lord's going to bring across my path this week someone who's lost as they can be. And he's got to give me the opportunity to do good works, which is to tell them about Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be his will? Not my will, but thine. And wouldn't that have to be done within the power of the Holy Spirit? He wants me to share the Word of God with that person. How important that I'm willing to do that this week. Without a doubt, you're going to come across situations where you're going to need to share God's Word. I sometimes look back at literally hundreds and hundreds of people, Sunday school teachers, mentors. That's a relatively new term. But anyway, someone who just came alongside of me and said, hey, you know what? This is what God's taught me about this. And they just were sharing God's Word with me. They had no idea that I still think of the things they said decades later. And what an impact it had on me. What did they do? Good works. They wanted the will of God. They weren't looking for anything else except to share with me what God had placed in their hearts at that exact moment. I'm glad they didn't shut up. I'm glad they were just open and honest and that they were yielded. And in that moment, they could be used by God. They were a preacher in that situation to my heart. And so the Lord wants me to be busy doing that. To be busy sharing the Lord. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. There's another good work that needs to be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Most of the time we're very tired. All of us are. We have a modern schedule. We expect so much from life. We're involved in so many things. And I believe there are many things that tire us out that probably if we put aside, they don't really need to be a part of our life. We wouldn't be nearly as tired. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's another message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, here's another issue. And that is that good works involve me allowing God's Word to be the authority in my life and in the situation that I'm facing. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so good works are also about letting God's Word be an authority. My heart naturally, I still have my old nature. When some issue comes up, my old nature naturally pushes to the surface and says, this is what I think. I'm talking about inside of me. But I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit who's there who says, this is what I said about that. And so I weigh those things out daily, like every human being does who's saved. I weigh out, this is what I would like to see. This is what I think ought to be done, but that's me. And wait a minute. You mean God has said something about it? And the Holy Spirit has brought to my mind some message or some passage that I've read in my devotions or have heard or memorized, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Works are saying God's word will be the authority. Today, and I hope every day, when God has said something about this, I need to do what God said. And so it involves His word. There's one last area, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It's always encouraging when the preacher says the last area. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. I survived another service. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. So I'm concerned about the will of God, my availability to the Lord. Good works involve daily pleasing God and not myself. Doing what I'm doing, not in my energy and wisdom and strength, but in the power and grace of God. It involves the Word of God, which is just sharing the Word of God and yet daily seeing and living under the authority of God's Word, doing what God said. I don't know if it's used as illustration or not. My brother-in-law and sister were here just a few weeks ago, and, you know, when they first got married, they had two worlds that collided. He was Canadian, she's American, and there's a big difference. You wouldn't think it. You just go over there. I've been teasing her. We're going to build a wall up there, too, to Mexico, keep those Canadians in. But the Canadians and Americans think dramatically different about many things. There was a deaf world and a hearing world. And a deaf world and a hearing world. And I can't even begin to express to you the differences between the deaf and the hearing world. There's a lot of frustration in deaf people. When you meet a person who's deaf, there's a lot of frustration under the surface there. And in the early days of their marriage, they had a lot of problems. I'm thankful that they both knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their lives were dedicated to Him. And that was very true in both of them before they ever met, before they ever fell in love, before they ever married. But I remember hearing some of the things and struggles and problems they were having. And I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I said in my heart, maybe they ought to get a divorce. You say, preacher, you wouldn't think that kind of thought. Well, I have a fleshly side of Chuck Rice. My wife is familiar with that person if you'd like to get with her and get filled in. I have a fleshly side there. And my fleshly side, of course, they've been married for decades. And I'm so thankful. I never expressed that to her. I did express that to a loved one in private. And it was wrong. It was wrong to think those things. Good works involves saying, what does God say? And if He said that, I need to do what He said. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 is the issue of worship. It involves the behavior of a person at church. And let me read it quickly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. What does that mean, behave? It's talking about working. How do you work in the church? How do you behave in the church? And it says, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so tonight, behavior at church is extremely important. I ought to be involved in exercise of my spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, and if you're not conscious of exercising that spiritual gift, there is a vacuum in this place, this church, because God has sent just enough of each part to function and operate. And it's always amazing to me because we have parts that leave, they get orders and they go places, they go far away, sometimes overseas, they go closer to North Carolina and they go all over. And we lose those parts, but it's always interesting how God raises up others to fill those voids and those parts. But tonight, you're here right now and you have spiritual gifts and they're needed. And part of the good works are fulfilling God's purpose for your creation and you using those spiritual gifts. Romans 12 in verse 10, let me read that real rapidly. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. Part of my works for God is maintaining that wonderful spirit of affection for others in Christ. And that's hard because people are people. And, you know, sometimes they say too much. Sometimes they don't say enough. Sometimes they're hurtful in their actions. They're sometimes forgetful and they forget things. Sometimes they don't even realize that your heart is tender about something and they say something and it hurts you. And that doesn't matter. Part of your work, your job, your good works are to maintain your affection. That's what it says. Be kindly affectioned one to another in honor, preferring one another, and that we should maintain a heart of affection. We got to close. There were three things that the Lord said through Titus here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, first of all, continue in good works. Continue in good works means be consistent. Just be consistent. Isn't it great when you have a car and it's consistent and you just go out there and you turn the key? And sometimes you've owned it for years and years and years, and suddenly it becomes inconsistent, you know, and it won't start, and you think, how long have I had this car? It's been a great car. And it was a great car, and you have good memories because it was pretty consistent, right? And God says, I want you to be consistent. Continue in good works. He said, be careful. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, be careful in good works, which means just be available to the Lord. And then the last thing he said there, in Titus was, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. He says, it's your duty to do good works. And you need to be aware of that. It's how people get saved. It's how people know you're saved. It's how you'll find fulfillment and joy in your life that maybe you're craving. I want more joy. Oh, I wish we would sing the songs we used to sing. That's foolish. No, joy. Joy comes through good works. It's how Satan is defeated when people are doing good works. Well, I tell you, he just can't find an entrance. He's always looking for a breach to get in. He can't find an entrance. And that's how God's will is done as people work for the Lord. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As you bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to read one last scripture. It's in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says God wants to do some good things this week in Beaufort, South Carolina, in Victory Baptist Church. But he's looking for some hands and some feet. Romans 6, 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And, you know, tonight, pretty powerful statement. God just wants some hands and some feet. In fact, as much of the work that God intends to do through Victory Baptist Church will be through the maintaining of those good works. Are you doing good works? I suppose if I were to, like in a classroom, we have a Christian school, ask a bunch of boys and girls, and you started the message, and you said, hey, just coming to church is not good works. And someone would raise their hand and say, yes, sir, I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm doing my good works. No, that's not good works. We looked at so many areas tonight. How God wants you to be busy doing good works. Are you? Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I've not been careful to maintain good works, but I want to dedicate myself tonight. I want my hands, my feet, my eyes, my brain, everything that I have, my attitude, to be involved in the cause of Jesus Christ this coming week. I know sometimes you're going to call upon me to do things and it's not going to seem convenient and I'm not going to seem to have all the resources and wisdom to know what I ought to do, but that doesn't matter. I'm available. And that's what matters to God. That's part of good works once you come. You may be here tonight and you look and you say, you know, I have serious doubts that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And it's not because of the issue of a lack of good works. The lack of good works in your life is evidence that you've never been saved. Or you say, preacher, I go to church every Sunday. I go. No, again, it's not going to church. Good works are different than that. And tonight, the will of God does not really matter to you. The spreading of the Word of God does not matter. The worship of the Lord does not matter. Those are good works. Won't you come tonight? Let me get you with someone and take the Bible. Let's take this apart. Make sure tonight that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can leave this place with the confidence that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be in this service tonight. So thankful for these great truths. It is the Word of God. It's right there in bold print for us to see. Good works. They're important to you. And Lord, I know the devil hates them. He's going to do everything he can to distract, discourage, and dissuade us from the need to be involved in good works. Lord, we're believers. We understand we don't do good works to go to heaven. But Lord, we are to be people of good works. We were created. We are your workmanship, created unto good works. Help us to understand what that means. Help us to be busy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, Denise is playing just a couple of verses. Do you need to come tonight? Are you a good worker, working for the Lord? Oh, preacher, I've been involved in this ministry forever. I've done this, I do that. Are those really good works? Hey, one of the evidences that you are involved in good works is the joy that's in your heart. Is there a lacking of joy? Well, preacher, if I just had this burden lifted off of me, no, I don't think that's the issue. I think there's something more fundamental in your heart, something you were created for that's not happening. Won't you come?